morning. So nice that everyone took time from their busy Pesach preparations to prepare a little bit spiritually. I was like thinking, you know, if I should give this year or not. Everyone's so busy. I'm so busy. I said no. Just like the physical preparations are important, the spiritual preparations are also important. So again, we're going to talk a little bit about the Seder. So we come to the Seder night, and we're ready to tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, how we left. We have our favorite edition of the Haggadah, you know, with some prepared Divrei Torah and some insights. Everything's all ready, and we come to the beginning of Magid, and the children have been practicing Manish Tana for weeks, often in a number of languages. And the Gemara tells us, Psachim Kuf Tet Zayin Amar Aleph, Mazgolo Kos Sheini, V'kan HaBen Shoel Aviv, V'im Ein Das Beven, Aviv Milamdo Manish Tana HaLaila HaZamikal HaLelos. So we start off Magid, we pour the second cup of wine, and at this point, the son asks the father. But if the son doesn't know or doesn't have the ability for whatever reason to ask, the father teaches the son Manish Tana. And the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Chacham Bino Shoalo, V'im Eino Chacham Ishto Shoalo. So if you have a child who's wise enough, who's able to ask, so then the child asks. But if not, then the wife asks, V'im Lav Hushoel Atmo. And if the wife can't ask or doesn't have a wife, then he asks himself. And even if you have at the table a group of Talmidei Chachamim all together, and they know the halachos of Pesach, they know the answers, they each ask one another. And actually, this is the psak that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It says, Mosgin lo miyad kos sheni, kedei sheshalu atinokos, lamoshos tin kos sheni, kodem asuda. So again, we start Magid with the second cup. We pour it before Magid to, you know, arouse curiosity so that the children will say, hey, we don't even have the meal yet. Why are you pouring yourself a second cup of wine? V'im ein chachma ben aviv milamdo. And if obviously the son doesn't know how or doesn't have the chachma to ask, so the father teaches him. Im ein lo ben ishto shoalto. V'ach lav hu shoel aratmo. And if he doesn't have a son to ask, then is what the wife asks. And if not, then he asks himself. And even again, if you have a group of Talmidei Chachamim who are all sitting together who clearly know the answers, they each ask each other, Manish Tana. So we need to understand why Chazal established the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the commandment to tell the story of the redemption from Egypt, specifically through question and answer. I would say the basic or the simple understanding is brought in Derech Pikudecha, that since we find in the Torah that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is in question and answer, right? Like the Pesukim say in Shemos, V'yaki yomru aleichem b'neichem, ma ha'avodah hazos lechem, v'amartem zevach pesach hu l'ashem, asher pasach abatei b'nei Yisrael, etc. Because in the Torah, when we record the questions or the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's recorded in a question form. So therefore, we have another example in Shemos Yud Gimel Yudal, Vayaki Yishalcha Bincha Machar Leimor Mazos, Vamarta Elav B'chozek Yad Otzienu Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. So because it's written again, when your son asks you tomorrow, it's in the Torah, it's recorded as a question. So the Derech Pikudecha learns from this an unbelievable chiddush. He says, "Mizeh nishma de mitzvah min haTorah hu al yedei she'ela v'tshuva." He says, according to him, it seems that it's actually a mitzvah from the Torah. It's a d'oraisa that it has to be done in question and answer form. Though obviously most poskim say that the fact that it should be in question and answer form is only derabanan. And he continues to explain why. Va'al pi pshuto tam hadavar, she biyoter nikva ha'inyan b'nefesh haben, ka'asher ha'sipur ba'lo al yidei mivuksho, kevan shukshalo eze davar ubikesh lemso tam. Va'al yidei zeh nikva ha'inyan b'nasho yoter mimasha nikva ha'inyan lo b'hoda'a bilvad mibli she'ila. He says that in a story, an idea, when you ask something, it becomes more set. It becomes more implanted in a person when the person's asking about it. When there is something that bothers him or something that he questions, when he looks for an answer, and therefore it's implanted in his heart more than a person who gains the knowledge without questioning. when something bothers you, when you ask about something, you remember it. It becomes a part of you more than if I just, you know, listed off a bunch of things. Oh, I know A, B, and C, and Hashem did D, E, and F, etc. But when we ask, when we think about it, it becomes really implanted in our heart. And on a deeper level, it is precisely through questioning and toiling and spending effort and time to better understand, a person is really able to attain and reach great levels in learning and understanding in Torah. That aha moment that we have when suddenly things become clear, we finally have a deeper understanding, it starts with a question. And this is exactly what the Chasam Sofer writes in his Sefer, Torah Moshe, on Parsha Shoftim. The pasuk in Devarim Perek Yedayin pasuk Chet writes, "Ki palemim chadavar lemishpat bein dam ledam bein din ledin ubein nega lenega divrei rabos b'sharecha v'kantav alita el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo." Says, I'll translate the pasuk. If a matter of judgment is hidden from you, between blood and blood, between verdict and verdict, between plague and plague, matters of dispute in your cities, you shall rise up and ascend to the place that Hashem your God shall choose. The Chasam Sofer explains, Ki apalemim chadavar lemishpat. Mishpat hu davar barur umuvan. What is a mishpat? A mishpat is something that's clear, something that's understood. Ulecha yukshe hadavar v'lo yeh mishpat barur beinecha. But for you, for some reason, the mishpat is not clear. It's challenging. It's not clear in your eyes. Dalecha, no, shatachlus bazehi, that the purpose in this is, there is a purpose. There is a reason why it is challenging for you. V'kamta v'alita. Sha'al yidei ha'pliya hazos takum v'ta'ale l'mala v'hasagos ha'torah. What is the purpose that you don't understand something? What is the purpose that you have this question? It's v'kamta v'alita, like the pasuk says. We literally translate it as, you should get up and you should go to the place that Hashem chooses. No, but literally you should get up and you should go higher. Why? Because when you toil in this, when you struggle with the question, when you try to understand it, you reach higher levels in your understanding of the Torah. And this is hinted to in another pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk Perak Aleph, pasuk Yedayin, V'hadavar asher yikshem mikem takrivun elai v'shamativ. Any matter that is too difficult for you, you shall bring before me and I shall hear it. Meaning we're talking about, literally according to the pshat, the appointment of judges. You don't know something, you have to go ask, come. But we can read it, hadavar asher yikshem mikem, something that is difficult for you to understand, or you question in your understanding of the Torah. Don't make the mistake and think that it means Hashem doesn't want your involvement in Torah because it's difficult or because of the questions that you have. Adaraba, it's the exact opposite. The reason why you have these questions is takrivun elai v'shamativ, in order that you come close to Hashem. That is the purpose of the question. And it's precisely through questioning, through trying to really clarify and understand, that man reaches greatness in Torah. The questions cause a person to toil, to be amel, to research, to look deeper. And because of that, he merits attaining higher levels in Torah. Like the Gemara in Megillah tells us, Vav Amid Bet, Im Yomar Lecha Adam Yagati V'lo Matzati Al Tamin. If a person comes to you and he says, "I toiled, but I didn't come to an answer," don't believe it. Lo Yagati U'Matzati Al Tamin. And if he says, "I didn't toil, but I found," don't believe either. Yagati U'Matzati Tamin. But if he tells you, "Yagati U'Matzati, I toiled and I found, I came to a conclusion," then you should believe. Nesfas Emes adds another level of understanding this Gemara. He quotes the Chidush Ha'arim to explain the Lashon of Yagati U'Matzati. He says that this phrase seems to be a tarta desatre, meaning it's a contradiction. Because why? The phrase Mitzia refers to finding something without even working. You simply stumble upon it. Wow, look at that. You know, we like to say, good Jewish women, wow, look at that Mitzia I found in the supermarket or in Target today. A Mitzia, did I toil for it? No, I just found it. I stumbled upon it. So he says that Matzati, to find, and Yagati seem to be contradictory. And he explains that someone who works hard and toils in Torah, he merits achievements in Torah in areas that he did not necessarily toil in. And so, while there is Yagia, while there is toil in a specific area, there's also metzia. There's finding things as well in other areas. The toiling causes other things in other areas of Torah to fall into place and to gain a deeper understanding. So just to recap till now, we started off asking, you know, why do we go through the whole Seder, and we said from the Gemara to the Psakin in the Halacha that it has to be in question answer form, right? What is the purpose of asking of these questions? So we said that on one level, when you ask something, it really establishes it in your heart. It becomes more real to you. And on another level, the toiling brings you to a higher level in learning and even maybe attaining levels in other areas that you didn't even try for. And we shouldn't think, oh no, I don't understand this. I'm just a simple-minded person, a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't want my questions or my toil. No. The purpose is Vikamta Valita. The reason why you have these questions is the sense that you bring it one level higher, that you become closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But I think in order to better understand the concept of questioning, and specifically the questioning at the Seder, we have to go back to, as we always do, the beginning. The first question asked in the world since Hashem created the world. The first question. I actually saw this brought down, again, someone that I love to quote, in Rav Pinchas Friedman, in the Shvilei Pinchas. So, what is the first question we have in the world? The Nachash comes to Chava, and she asks her a question in order to get her to slip up a little. Bereishis, Paragimel, Pasuk Aleph, V'hanachash haya arum mikol chayat hasadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim. The Nachash was the most cunning of all the animals that Hashem created. Vayomer el ha'isha, and he said to the woman, he said to Chava, Av ki amar Elokim lo tolchu min gan eitz mikol eitz hagan. He said, maybe Hashem said to you that you shouldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden, any of the fruits in Gan Eden. So there, Rashi explains, the afal pi shara'o samochlim mishar peros, even though the Nachash saw Adam and Chava eating from all the fruits in the garden, herbel adz varim, kideisha tashivenu, vayavola daver ba'oto ha'etz. He engaged her in questions, in these comments. Why? In order that she should answer him, and that they should come to talk about specifically the Eitz Hadas, specifically that tree that we all know they were not permitted to eat from. And it was because of this first question of the Nachash that he was successful in bringing down Adam and Chava from their lofty level. And we continue, Pasuk Beis, Vatamar Ishal HaNachash. So Chava naturally she responds to the Nachash. Mipri eitz hagan nochal, umipri eitz haetz asher betoch hagan amar Elokim lo tochlu mimenu, velo tagubo pentamusun. No, she says to the Nachash. No. We're allowed to eat from all the fruits in the garden. There's just one tree that we're not allowed to eat from, or not allowed to touch, because then we'll die. Ki yodei Elokim ki biyom achaltem imanu, v'nefkechu einechem v'yitzem ke Elokim yodei tov v'ra. So what happens? The Nachash responds to Chava, and he says, you will not surely die, for God knows that on the day you will eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and bad. So with this question, the Nachash was able to engage Chava in a conversation, ultimately causing her and Adam to slip up. And it's interesting that right after Adam and Chava sin, as a result of this heretic question of the Nachash, Hashem immediately appears to them, and he asks them a number of questions as well. Most famous among them is Ayeka. Actually, in total, Hashem asks them 4 questions, which can actually, we're not going to talk about it in this year, but actually can be connected to the 4 questions that we ask on Leil HaSeder. So what does Hashem say? What was Pasuk Chet? Vayishmu et kol Hashem Elokim et halech began l'revach hayom. They heard, you know, the voice, the sound of God going through the garden towards the evening. Vayitzchavei ha'adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim b'tzoch eitz hagan. So what do Adam and Chava do? They hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikra Hashem Elokim ala Adam v'yomer lo. And Hashem calls out to Adam. Question number 1. Ayeka. Where are you? Vayomer es kolich shamati began vayiraki arum vaanochi vachve. So Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, but I was afraid because I am arum, I'm naked, I'm unclothed, so I hid. Two, vayomer mi gilcha ki arumata. So Hashem asks another question: who told you that you are naked? Hamirai, and then number three, hamirai asher tivitiha levilti achol mimenu achalta. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Vayomer Adam, ha'ish asher natata imadi hinat nali mina eitz ochal. So, and then Adam points to Chav and he says, it's her fault. The woman that you gave me, she caused me to eat from it. Vayomer Hashem Elokim le'ishto, le'isha. So therefore, then Hashem turns to Chav and he says, ma zo sasisa, what did you do? Vatomer Aisha hanachash hasieni v'ochel. She said, the Nachash deceived me, and so I ate. And when we look at that awesome time of Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, we see that before the brazen Nachash brought his question of the Gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were no questions or doubts in all of creation. Adam and Chava's place as king and queen who rule over all creations was clear. Their eternal life in Gan Eden was also clear. And more so, the kingship of Hashem over the whole world and over all the creations was clear without any questions or any doubts. In fact, Hashem's warning not to eat from the Eitz Hadas was also clear. Like the pasuk, it's pretty clear when we read it. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimor mikol Eitz Hagan achol tochal umeyal hadas tov v'ra lo tochal mimeno ki bayom achalcha mimeno mos tamos. You can eat from all the other trees in the garden, but this one tree, the Eitz Hadas, you can't, because on the day that you do, you will die. Creation was complete, and the goal was clear until the Nachash came, and he turns everything upside down with his question to Chava, a seemingly innocent question, as if he was just looking to clarify or to understand. Did Hashem forbid you to eat from all the fruits of the garden? But really, the question was filled with mockery, and its tone was that of derision and ridicule. If Hashem really wanted to rule over you, then why did he forbid eating from all the trees of the garden? In this way, he continued to incite and to throw off Chava. Just like there is no Isser to eat from all the trees in the garden, so too there is no Isser to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from this one special tree. There's no difference. We have to understand that if Chava would have sensed the rebellion embedded in the Nachash's question, if she would have understood that by answering the Leitzanis, the mockery of the Nachash, she was giving him chashivas, she was giving him importance by discussing such things with him, she would have never answered him. She would have stayed away and never have fallen into his quote-unquote trap, and the world would have continued clean and clear of any questions or any doubts. But since Chava did not push away the Nachash or his questions, he was able to entrap them, thus causing major ramifications and damage to creation. Hashem kicked Adam and Chava out of Gan Eden. Death descended upon the world, and the earth started to grow thorns and thistles. But the greater damage was that after the Nachash introduced his question on the Gezer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world became filled with questions and doubts, questions of heresy and doubts of Kfira. It started with the Dor HaMabel, and it continued with the Dor HaFlaga, and Sodom, and Amorah, and on, and on, and on. The questions and the effects of the Nachash kept popping its head up in each and every generation. We find this by Paro as well, who also has his roots in the Nachash. In fact, the Zohar tells us, Uparo di'iu di'kuno de'nachash chayva. Paro is some sort of image, some sort of connection to the Nachash. Therefore, when Moshe and Aaron come to him on a mission from Hashem to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, he follows in the way of the Nachash and responds with a question of kfira, of heresy. Shmos Perakei Pasuk Bet. Vayomer Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Shma Bekolo L'Shloch Es Yisrael Lo Yadati Es Hashem V'Gam Es Yisrael Lo Ashlach. What does Paro say? Who is this God that I should send out Bnei Yisrael? I never heard of him. I don't know what you're talking about. And therefore, there's nothing doing. I'm not sending Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. We also find this. We find this also by Amalek, who's also considered an aspect of the Nachash, as the Zohar tells us. Nachash hu Samael hu Amalek. The Nachash is also considered Amalek, or Amalek is also considered some sort of aspect of this Nachash. Amalek was successful in putting doubts and questions of kfira in our minds, to the point that we ask, Hayesh Hashem bekerbenu im ayin? Is there a God in our midst or not? We just left Mitzrayim. We saw Nisim Galuyim, and yet we ask, is there a God or not? And so we were punished with Mechamas Amalek, like the Pasuk says. The next pasuk after that we just read, Vayavu Amalek, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuchet, Vayavu Amalek, Vayilachim Im Yisrael Berfidim. So therefore what happens, because we asked, is there a God or not? We have Amalek. Amalek comes and attacks us. And Rashi there comments, Samach Parsha Zu Lemikrazeh. These two psukim are very much connected. Lomar Tamid Ani Beinechem, Umuzuman L'Kol Tzarechem. Hashem says, I'm always with you, and I'm always ready to help you and to take care of your needs. Va'atem omrim, but you say, Hayesh Hashem v'kerbeinu imayin? Is there a God in our midst or not? Chayechem shakel abav v'noshecheschem. So therefore, what's going to happen? The dog is going to come and he's going to bite you. You're going to get a patch to wake you up. Va'atem tokim elai v'teidun heichan anochi. You're going to have to call out to me, and then you're going to know where I am. In fact, the Mekubalim tell us that Amalek in Gematria is the same as Suffolk, which is doubt, because Amalek puts doubts and questions of Kfira into our minds and into our thoughts. The Nachash introduced these questions and doubts, but they follow us throughout history. This threat is far more insidious than an enemy who tries to harm us physically. We may even view these people as our friends and engage them in dialogue, as Chava did, but the ramifications are far graver than the sword or a gun. They play with our mind, their ideas seep into our way of thinking, affecting us on every level. In order to counteract this, in order to fight against the question of the Nachash, Hashem also introduced his own set of questions into the world, starting with the most famous among them, Ayeka, where are you? I know something that we've spoken about two summers ago. We gave a shiur on it.
Can you just, in order to counteract
this, the questions of the Nachash. In order to counteract the questions of the Nachash, Hashem also introduces questions into the world. Most famously among them, Ayeka. There's actually a famous story of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. When he sat in prison in St. Petersburg for suspicion of treason, the officer, who recognized him as a great scholar, he asked him to explain, you know, why does Hashem ask Adam in the Garden of Eden, why does he ask him, Ayeka, where are you? You know, clearly God knew where Adam was. So the Baal HaTanya answers with great excitement, and he said, Hashem did not ask Adam, Ayeka, what is your physical status? Where is your location? What is the longitude and the latitude? Where is your physical body? But rather, he asked him about his spiritual status. Ayeka, where are you spiritually? Adam, look how you fell from such heights to such a deep pit. Before the sin, you were greater than the malachim, and now you are hiding among the trees of the garden. The Baal HaTanya added that the question is echoed in every generation. In every generation, Hashem asks each and every person, Ayeka, where are you holding spiritually? Where are you? Are you reaching the great heights that you can reach? Or are you hiding among the trees of the garden? And it's based on this that we can understand how Hashem's question counteracts that of the question of the Nachash. What was the goal of the question of the Nachash? The goal of the Nachash's question was to bring Adam and Chava down from their lofty level to a deep pit of doubts and desires. To fight this, what does Hashem do? He asks Adam, Ayeka, where are you in terms of where you're supposed to be? Where you have the ability to reach, so that Adam should recognize his fall and start climbing back, to get back to that high level, to get back to that place where he once was, to realize I have much more potential than just be here hiding. I can really be something amazing. I can reach these lofty levels. I was once there. Ayeka, where am I in terms of where I'm supposed to be? And so, though the world may now have the questions of the Nachash, or of Paro, or of Amalek, We also have questions to help us overcome our fall, and we can use them as a tool to come back, where we reevaluate where we are holding, where we're holding spiritually by asking ourselves, Ayeka, where are we in terms of where we're supposed to be or where we can be? And where we can come close to Hashem through asking and trying to answer the questions in our Torah learning, through delving in, through asking questions, and through that, attaining higher levels in our learning of Torah and in our closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference in the questions lies is where they are coming from. What is the purpose of us asking? And I think that this is clearly illustrated in the Haggadah. At the Seder, we discuss four types of sons who ask questions. We have the Chacham, the wise one, the Rasha, the evil one, the Tam, the simple son, and the She'eino Yodei Lashol, the son who doesn't really know how to ask. But what really is the difference between the question of the Rasha and the question of the Chacham? When we read them, they seem pretty similar. What does the Chacham say? Maha Eidos v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tiva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. What are the testimonials, the statutes, and the laws Hashem, our God, commanded you? And what does the Rasha say? Maha avoda hazos lachem. What does this work mean to you? And what do we say to the Rasha? What do we respond? Lachem v'lolo. Lefi she'hotzi es asmo min ha'klal kfar be'ikar. Right? Lachem v'lolo. But the Chacham also said to you. So why do we have this harsh response when it comes to the Rasha? You and not him. And we don't say the same thing when it comes to the Chacham, when the wise son asks something that seems to be very similar. So the Afike Yehuda, as quoted by Rav Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky, answers that the explanation is found in the words of the Pesukim. By the wise son, by the Chacham, what does it say? Devarim Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf, Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar Leimor, Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tiva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. The Torah writes that the Chacham's question, using the word she'ela, ki yish'alcha bincha leimor, right? Machar leimor. That the wise son asks, we have the word she'ela. But by the Rasha, the Pasuk states, Shmos Yudbeis Chafvav, v'haya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. It uses the lashon of amira. We don't find the same lashon, the same language of she'ela, of question, but rather it says amira. What the difference is that the Chacham wants to get to the truth. He knows that there are answers to his question. He simply doesn't understand them. And therefore he has questions that he really wants answers to. But the Ben HaRasha, he doesn't seek to know the truth. He just wants to rid himself of the burden of Torah. Therefore, we don't answer his questions because they are not really questions. Rather, amiros, just telling us his complaints or issues. He's not interested in having them resolved. The Rasha is looking to free himself, and therefore he asks questions and he places doubts. You know, there's a famous story, the Gra, someone who came to the Gra and said, I have a lot of questions. You know, can you answer my questions? And the Gra said to him, you know, there's a lot of answers if you had questions, but you don't have questions. You have terutzim. You have explanations. You have reasons. You're not looking for answers. You're looking for excuses. You're looking for doubt so that you can chuck this all. That's not a question. I have answers to questions, but you're not asking a question. And that is exactly what the Rasha did. The Rasha wasn't looking for an answer to a she'ela. It was an amira. It was a statement. And therefore, he's looking to free himself. And so what does the Baal Haggadah write regarding the Rasha? Ulefi shehotzi es atzmo min haklal kafar be'ikar. Translated as, since he excluded himself from the community, from Klal Yisrael, he denied a basic principle of Judaism. So if we look at that statement, it's bizarre, right? Really, it should be the opposite. A person who is kofar be'ikar, a person who, you know, denies the basic principles of Judaism, who's a heretic, he excludes himself from the community, from Klal Yisrael, right? First, we deny the principles, and because we say, oh, we don't believe the same thing, therefore what? We exclude ourselves from the community. But by the Rasha, it says the opposite. It says that he excluded himself from the community, and therefore he denied the principles of Judaism, because the Rasha is looking for a way out. He wants to remove himself from the klal, so he asks questions. He raises doubts to give himself a way out. He doesn't ask questions to gain answers and understanding. He presents his statements as questions, but in reality, he's not looking for an answer like the Nachash. He asks simply to bring about a new reality. And so, on Pesach night, when we take our first steps as a nation, leaving Paro and becoming Ovdei Hashem, we together enter a confusing world with many who question and doubt God and His presence in the world. And so we tell over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we tell over the story of our redemption from Egypt in a question and answer form, to remind ourselves what true questions are and how valuable they can be. We cannot allow questions to cloud our thoughts or to create confusion and doubt. We need to use them properly and allow the questions to help elevate our spiritual standing, as well as enable us to delve deeper into the Torah, so that the questions bring us to a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because really, that's what questions have the power to do. Like we said, the purpose of a question is to evaluate our standing. Ayeka, where are we in terms of where we can be and what we can achieve? And not only that, the purpose of the question is v'kamta v'alita, that when we struggle, when we have questions, we shouldn't think, oh, the purpose of those questions is because we're simple and Hashem doesn't want our learning or doesn't value it. It's adarab, it's exactly the opposite. The purpose is v'kamta v'alita. When we struggle, when we toil, when we ask questions, we elevate ourselves. We grow in our learning, and we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what we achieve on the night of the Seder. But we can't be distracted by the questions of the world, the quote-unquote, the apparent questions. They disguise themselves as questions, whether it's the Nachash, whether it's Paro, whether it's Amalek. Because really, those questions are just to get our minds off the goal and to bring us from our level. But when we use the questions properly, we can attain unbelievable heights.